We are live on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday. It's Sports Club. Of course, that makes me Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome in. Tons and tons, as we say. We call this the Elephant Show. In fact, we're going to go ahead and every post we put out from here on out, I'm going to put hashtag Elephant Show. I'm actually going to write that down. So that if nothing else, at least I do it. Lots of fun stuff we're going to get into. We'll talk some Atlanta United. Got some stuff going on in the NFL. A few baseball stories. Talk some Kentucky Derby. Of course, that was last weekend. That was fun. Would have liked to be there in person, but it worked out. Talk a little UGA football. And Falcons, obviously. But first, I want to give this little shout-out. Earlier today, for a lot of people who don't know, and a lot of you probably don't because you haven't met her, which is fine. That could change sometime soon. My mom, who has been a teacher for a good many years, this is going on her 30th year in the school system, is retiring this year. And so earlier today, the county of which she is employed through all the retiring teachers, a luncheon with some amazing food. But it was a good time. It was great to honor a lot of these men and women, everything from bus drivers to cafeteria workers to teachers, administrators, principals, all the people in school system that are retiring this year. And she's got a couple other ones coming up, but this one was really cool. Got to see some people that I know, some former teachers of mine, other people in the school system that I've known, because it is the same school system that I went to school in. And actually, one of the cool things I learned was that a former classmate of mine, I know his entire family, but a former classmate of mine is actually an administrator. In the county, and that was really cool. Got to talk to him and catch up with him. It's been a while since I've seen him, so it was good to catch up. It was great that they honored all these men and women. Teachers, by far, are a majority of the reason that most of us turn out as good as we do. I got lucky that I've had a lot of teachers, and official and unofficial, in my life, which has ultimately led me to here. And I know a lot have helped you guys as well. So I just wanted to give a shout out to all the teachers, especially my mom who is retiring soon. And yeah, love you, Mom. Thanks for listening. And let's get into some sports. And I appreciate that nobody lit up the text line with the hashtag #6sports, because you guys know I ignore that anyway. Now, since somebody did not send that out, let me go ahead and put that out there. There we go. We are live. Where to start? God, how fired up do I want to be? Because if I talk Atlanta United, I'm going to get a little fired up. If I talk Atlanta Falcons, I'm going to get a little fired up. Let's start Atlanta United because it's fresh on my mind. Got a chance to listen live to the soccer down here, guys. Earlier today for a little while. That was nice. Usually I have to catch the rebroadcast or the podcast version. But got to listen to that. And Jason, Jarrett, and John all do very, very good work. Always a good listen. If you're not listening to them and you're wanting to know about the Atlanta soccer scene, then what are you doing? You need to be listening to soccer down here. At soccer down here on Twitter. You can find all their information after that. Anyway, you know, maybe we have Jarrett or John on sometime to talk about some of the other stuff they do. That should be fun. We'll have Jason back on too. But let's get into Atlanta United. I want to start and talk about last weekend's game first, where they extinguished the fire. That would be the Chicago Fire. The Atlanta United extinguished the Chicago Fire 2-1. We kind of thought it would go somewhere around in there. The goals were from Ezekiel Barco. It's his first of the year, and it electrified the squad. It was very good to finally get him on the board. And then Joseph Martinez knocking in. I believe he's in the goal lead. I think he's a goal or so better than Almiron. So the golden boot could come down to two Atlanta strikers, which is pretty cool. But overall, in this one, they seem to play their normal game. The Chicago Fire are a good team. They were able to hang with them for a while before United put a couple on the board. And then the goal they gave up, it was just a nice shot. Let's be honest. It was a good shot. It was a nice shot. Just not much you could do about it. So, big win last weekend. And then last night, as a lot of you guys were following me on Twitter, as we were talking back and forth about this, they took on Sporting Kansas City. Still one of the cooler names. I like that. It's different. Atlanta was pressing very early within the first 20 minutes or so, really pressing hard. A handful of shots were just a hair off one way or the other. And then, I'm not going to call it a death blow even. Then the unthinkable. Brad Guzan goes to make a tackle on the attacking player for Sporting Kansas City. He does make a play on the ball, but also takes the guy out at the knees, basically. Doesn't matter. When he took him out, that automatic. That becomes a red card. That's the first red card, I believe, in Brad Guzan's career. Anybody that knows him, he's very mild-mannered. He does get intense and yell at his own players, which he needs to do sometimes because he's a goalie. He's in charge. But that was in the 35th minute, which means 55 more minutes of playing a man down. Red card means you're off. If you get two yellows, then you're off, because two yellows equal red. If you get a red, then you're off. If you come in with a yellow already on your record of a certain time period and you get another one, they're calling it technical fouls. Red means he's off. Well, you can't just take the goalie. I can't play without a goalie. But in order to bring in the emergency backup, because both other backups were injured at the time, the emergency backup, a guy they drafted just earlier this year, just a month or so ago, his name is Paul Christensen. He is a fantastic young man, and we'll get into his play here in a minute. But in order to do that, you have to sub off one of your other 10 players. Unfortunately, that means Villalba was the one who came out so that Christensen could come in. He played the remaining 55 minutes in goal. He did give up two goals. I do not blame either one of them on him. Both times, just something happened on the back line, and at one, it looked like an alley-oop pass because it just chipped up and over our defensive line, and their striker, who had just came on, I think his name was Gersey, something like that. If I say your name wrong, I totally apologize, dude, but one of the guys they had just subbed in ended up tapping that one in. Because part of Christensen's style, he does a lot like Guzan, the goalie mentality. You do this a lot in hockey. When a charging player is coming at you on a fast break, they move up to take away a lot of the angles. Well, he moved up to try to play a ball, and the guy just went right around him because he's that skilled. Ultimately, Atlanta United go down 2-0. It was just bizarre, but the way they played with 9 players and the fourth or fifth string goalie, even if Guzan would have been in there and they would have been playing with 11, I don't think they would have played much better than they did. They maxed out effort. They maxed out talent. You can't win them all. I think Mike Conte said that. You can't win them all, but this team never gave up. They had the John Cena mentality, loyalty, hustle, respect, never give up. So shout out to Atlanta United. was a not the result that we wanted, but at the same time, it's the one we got. Quick turnaround for the team. They will actually play, I want to make sure I get the time right. They will actually play in Orlando against the Orlando City Soccer Club at 6 o'clock this Sunday, which is also Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Remember, we would not be here without our mothers, no matter how literal you want to take that. But I like where Atlanta United's at right now. They're still the top team in the East. They got beat by the top team in the West, and they only got beat 2-0. And it had nothing to do, honestly, with the events of the game. It would have been different if, oh, they were playing a man down, so they were easily gave up some shots through the back line. No, didn't happen. Oh, well, you said the fourth or fifth string emergency goalie was playing, so he must have gave up a bunch of soft goals. No, he didn't do that either. He had some pretty incredible saves. I like this kid. This kid could definitely do some things. I look forward to maybe running across him one day just to ask him what was going through his mind there. That's got to be just a bizarre thing. But like I said, I still like where Atlanta's at. We got Orlando City. This is probably, you know, it's like, I think they said 4 games in 16 days or something like that. This will be 3 games in 8 days. So it's going to be a quick turnaround. We're going to see a different style squad, but we won't be a guy down at this point. And we were able to get some other guys in the game who got some of their sea legs under them. So I feel good about that. Let's move on, because I don't want to get too much more fired up. A lot of people wanted to say something about the ref and that he called a lot against Atlanta, but only one thing against Kansas City. Look, he doesn't have a vendetta. That's dumb. Just don't even go there. To say that this team didn't play to potential, once again, another dumb statement. Let's just, no. Sometimes the ball bounces the other direction. It did. Can't win them all, and that's fine. Doesn't mean we can't win the rest of them. Let's move on. Let's talk some baseball. Go and get those going. Get you guys thinking about those. CC Sabathia, pitcher of the Yankees. A lot of people weren't sure he's still pitching. He's still pitching. CC Sabathia came out recently and said he thinks he'll retire if the Yankees win the World Series this year. It's not that bold of a statement. The Yankees are by far one of the favorites. So, I would put them, you know, them in Boston. You definitely have to think there's some other teams that are really doing pretty well. We'll have to see how it plays out. It is just starting, but you know, wish the best for CC. He came over. He got injured a few times after coming over from Milwaukee. He's still a big time pitcher, and I think he'll retire in the next year or so anyway. But what better way to go out than hoisting the 28th? Yeah, that's 28th World Series championship for the New York Yankees. So, good luck to you, Sabathia. Good luck to the Yankees, and we'll see how that goes. Still got 85% of your season to go. The other big story involves the team across town from them, the Mets. The Mets have officially dropped the Dark Knight himself, Matt Harvey. His I guess moodiness and his attitude and his overall ability to throw the ball across the plate dipped again, and they designated him for assignment, which means they had 10 days to cut him, trade him, or something else. Well, they ended up trading him to the team that they just recently played, the Cincinnati Reds. I wish the best for Matt Harvey. I hated that it had to end like this, but it was time that the Mets moved on. It just, I don't know. I think the media was really starting to get to Matt. where if he goes to Cincinnati or a Milwaukee, or I don't even know that Atlanta's a technical quote unquote small town, small enough town. I just think he needs to go somewhere, have a great career. Matt Harvey can still pitch, and I look forward to seeing him do that. But like I said, it was about time that the Mets just said, yeah, that's enough. That's enough. Moving on. The University of Georgia, all the way up in Athens. It's a couple hours drive from here. I've been to Athens a few times. Never been to the stadium. Been to the practice facility. That place. Wow. That place is a museum. But the UGA Bulldogs just re-upped head coach Kirby Smart. I don't know if he had a year left on the deal or not, but they re-upped him for 7 years, $49 million on the contract. He's on the top five, I believe, highest paid college coaches. Some people say not necessarily this may be a dumb move because he's only been there a couple years. Okay. I think it's a smart move. See what I did there? It's a smart move to sign Kirby and keep him locked up like this because, yeah, the first year he had Mark Richt's team. Last year he had part Mark Richt's team, part his team, and they were the runner-up for the title to Alabama, to an Alabama team that had to revert to playing the backup quarterback in the second half because UGA was dominating them at the line of scrimmage so bad. They literally had to just dig deep and find the Hail Mary out of the bottom of the bag, and it just so happened to work out. 99 times out of 100. I know Tua is his first name. Tua Valea, I think is his name. 99 times out of 100, that kid, nah, it don't pan out. But somehow, it's just that the stars aligned and it worked. Things like that happen. You guys are Atlanta sports fans. We all know that some of the goofiest things in the world have happened where our opponents have just somehow figured out something. But no, UGA giving it, sure, I don't mind him paying this kind of money because it's showing you where the coaches market is going. It used to be that only the Sabins, the Harbaughs, Pete Carroll, those guys would make $5 million or more. I think Sabins up to 10 now. Somewhere in there, Harbaugh's 8 or 10, something like that. It's showing you that the market, if you have one of the considered top 10 coaches, the market's going to be at least $7 to $10 million to keep them there. So let's see where the other balls drop as far as that. I think UGA made a good move. They realized that this is a window. You did lose Roquan Smith, you lost Nick Chubb, you lost Sony Michel, you lost a couple of these other guys, but you still got your quarterback, you still got all those other guys. I mean, you got Herschel Walker's kid on your team. That guy might be a better athlete than his dad. And that's saying something, because Herschel Walker could still probably outrun majority of all of us. He could outmuscle a majority of all of us, and I am not getting anywhere near a cage with him. The guy's a freak show athlete. The UGA is still stacked. You guys always tell me all the time, including some really good friends of mine, you tell me all the time about prospects that were brought in and guys that were signed out of high school and these kinds of things. I don't have a problem with paying your coach $7 million for the next 7 years because he's getting all the tools coming in and he has all the strategy lined up. So, you know, look out anybody else in the SEC, including Nick Saban, because I think if you played UGA again, it's probably not going to go in your favor. More exciting things to look forward to this fall. Moving on. Where do we want to go from here? We've got all football left. So, let's jump. Well, no, all football except for one. Congratulations to Justify. Not only is it my dad's new favorite show, but it's also the name of the horse that won the Kentucky Derby. Timothy Oliphant. Yeah. Look, I've seen a few episodes of Justified. It's a fantastic show, but you need to get the, not the reboot, you need to get an ending or that other show you did. And I think you guys know what I'm talking about. For those who don't, look up Deadwood. Deadwood had three outstandingly amazing seasons. I think the problem he said last time was trying to get the whole enough of the, you know, the cast that they need back in the same room because everybody's everywhere else. But yeah, the world needs more Seth Bullock and Al Swearengen. But also congratulations to Justify the Horse, who won the Kentucky Derby, got out to the early lead. I felt like the only way, as wet as the track was, the only way to win that was to get out to an early lead and just hold off the one or two people that would come up at you, which is exactly what they did. For everybody else who want to know about show and place, Good Magic in second and Audible in third. I've heard of Audible. I've seen it run. I swear I saw it run a couple other races. Might have ran some last year. That's a good solid horse as well. I wish I had the time to watch as much horse racing as I used to. I really enjoyed the sport. It's not as cruel to these horses as some people think. And they lead really great lives, especially when they get out of the sport. Plus, all the jockey stories are fantastic. A lot of these guys made the most of an opportunity, and they do so well around the track. But Justify, Good Magic, rather, and Audible were the 1, 2, 3 at the Derby. Now, this could be a short show. I'm going to dive in to some NFL news. I'm going to throw in the Falcons stuff towards the end because I want to end on a high note, and I'm going to throw it somewhere towards maybe next to last because you guys are not going to like me. And unfortunately, Mike Conti, if you do listen to this episode, I know you're a fan of the guy, but I got a bone to pick with number two. But first, I actually asked Mike Florio. I asked him a handful of questions throughout the week. You guys know that when I get a chance to speak with him. I asked him, between Joe Flacco and Big Ben Roethlisberger, which one of their reactions to their potential replacements being drafted is most troubling to the team, and then which is more entertaining in general? He said it's probably Big Ben. I could see that. I think it's Flacco. Big Ben's is more entertaining, and we'll get to that in a minute. But Joe Flacco has yet to talk to Mr. Jackson. As far as I know, it's not his job. Aaron Rodgers famously said it's not Brett Favre's job to make him a better quarterback. It's Aaron Rodgers' job to watch Brett Favre on how to be a good quarterback. That makes sense. It's not Joe Flacco's job to show Mr. Jackson how to be the next starter in Baltimore. No, it's Joe Flacco's job to be the starter in Baltimore until he's not, which the way it looks could be sooner rather than later, depending on how things go. John Harbaugh is not dumb. He's also great at working with quarterbacks. So you give him and Jackson through week 6, 7, 8-ish, he could be ready to go. Depends on what Flacco's doing. The problem is, that would be an expensive bench player because you can't cut Flacco this year. You would still owe him like $22-24 million, something like that, or $19 million or something, I think would be the cap hit. If you do it next year, it's like $3 million. So I think we see that Joe Flacco's last year in Baltimore, unless he does what he did last time and wins the whole thing, including the Super Bowl, Joe Flacco's about to be out. I think that's more troubling, though, that he is being non-responsive. He's kind of turned into a bigger recluse than he was. I get it. We've all been at jobs where you watch them hire your replacement. They want you to train your replacement, and you're like, I don't know. And if you balk at it, maybe they go ahead and dump you then. Or maybe you do end up training them a little bit. I mean, I can't lie. When my replacement was hired at a job, I wanted nothing to do with the guy. For one, I was thinking of getting out anyway. But two, why spend my time helping a company that no longer wants my services? So I get where Flacco's coming from. That's why I think it's more troubling, because if he just stays aloof and withdrawn all the time, it's not going to help this team perform. What he doesn't realize is he should just go out and try to have the best season he can, try to take them as far as he can. But look, the Ravens are on the cusp of being right back in the playoffs. They really are. I've said that for, what, this is going on 3 years? They're not that far off. They're really not. Can they compete in their division? Can they compete with Cleveland? Yeah. Until Cleveland shows us that they can win more than 4 games, which is very possible this year if it all comes together. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. But until Cleveland shows they can win more than 4 games in a year, yeah, no problem. Can they beat the Cincinnati Bengals? They're kind of in the Cleveland boat. I think they're actually going, they might be the worst team in the division at this point, maybe by default, until they can show that they can win 6 games in this division. I think you don't have to worry. You don't worry that the Bengals are going to win the division. Can they beat Big Ben and the Steelers? It's possible. They're going through a little bit of a transition as well. There's a very good chance that they could beat the Steelers straight up. Can they do it twice? I don't know. They'll probably split that series. If they met in the playoffs, I think you're going to have to watch out. I think you're really going to have to watch out there. Let's go into the Big Ben factor. I think I mentioned it last week. Let's see if I did, actually. Maybe I did not. Either way, whether I did, whether I didn't. Basically, and Big Ben reaction here is going to have a lot to do with what I say about Matty Ice a little later, too. It's a similar reaction. So Big Ben was trying to pull this far of the, I get banged up. I may retire. Yeah, I don't know how much longer I could play. No, I'm definitely going to be back. And I may retire again. It's really frustrating the Steelers. So the Steelers kind of take a page out of the Packers playbook here, and they say, well, we're going to go ahead and draft Mason Rudolph, because besides the other quarterbacks we have on the roster, at least there's a young guy we can develop. If nothing else, he can be Ben's backup. Okay. No problem there, right? Except for now, Big Ben goes from, you know how things go. We just take it day by day to, Mason Rudolph is good, and it'd be good to develop a young guy for when I'm gone, but I hope he's okay waiting, because I plan to play at least 3 to 5 more years. Oh, and so now we're sure, Ben. So the assurance to make sure that you would play for as long as they would like you to was to draft a possible young upstart? Huh. I think if they would have known that, I feel like they would have drafted Jimmy Garoppolo or something a couple years ago just to light the fire under you, Ben. Because you always play solid. You're still one of the top 5 in the league at quarterback position. But you just had a lot of fire behind you to let you know it was getting hot. Well, that makes a lot of sense now, doesn't it? So I think a lot of us have been in this scenario here as well. You're at a job. You're good at your job. You're really good at your job. But you're not sure if you want to leave for a different job or just leave for another location, different company. And so you keep going back and forth about it, back and forth. And so the company hires somebody else just in case. Plus, they need to hire other people. They need to hire people anyway. So they hire somebody else that you look and go, you know what? With a little bit of work and a little bit of effort, they may can do my job as good as I can. Maybe. Or at least do it at a 2/3. Yeah, maybe 2/3 is good. Who knows? Never know how these pan out. So now all of a sudden, nope, not going to another country. I'm not to another company. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here at Widgets Incorporated. Right here at Widgets Incorporated. So that's just going to make management go, huh, well, if that's all we needed to do, we would have hired some people a long time ago. We'll see how that particular thing goes. I think Mike Tomlin, as much as I'm not a fan of his, I think he is becoming one of the better coaches in the league. And I think when Big Ben leaves, depending on how the transition goes or depending on how the end of Big Ben's career goes, I think Mike Tomlin could leave for another team. I think he would very much get a job somewhere else. But either way, two interesting reactions by two starting quarterbacks in this league. I think Flacco's window's closing, but Big Ben, we'll see. Yeah, let's go there. There's still no owner in Carolina, but there is progress being made. What kind of progress? Well, I had some calls dug into a few different avenues I was going to get into, and then this little nugget dropped that one of these groups that is pursuing ownership of the Panthers approached Peyton Manning. From what I heard, they approached him. There's a difference. If I come to you, then I realize that I need your particular set of skills to help my effort, that you joining up with me will help my effort better. If you come to me, you believe your skills will help my effort. And if you come to me, then you have to sell yourself to me. If I come to you, then I'm trying to sell my idea to you. So last I heard, this ownership group went to Peyton Manning, or at least reached out at some point and said, hey, we would like you to be a part of this effort to own the Carolina Panthers. And I remember there was rumors a couple years ago that maybe Peyton would get a group together and buy the Titans. It's not going to happen because of his time in Tennessee. I said that if he were to try to buy a team, I felt like, depending on the failing health of the Mr. Benson, who is unfortunately not with us anymore, I did not know what his wife's plans was. Now that I do know, I don't think the New Orleans Saints would be an option. I'm sure Peyton has looked into some things. There's a reason why he said no to ESPN, why he said no to Fox. He has something in mind. Maybe he knew one of these opportunities would be around, or maybe he just didn't know what he wanted to do yet. Some guys, as soon as they retire, will take the time to enjoy their family, to kind of feel out some deals, kind of see where things are going to go. You're like, okay. That makes sense. I think Peyton was doing that. He threw out some feelers. He had a handful of sticks in the fire. He was going to see which one got hot first, see if that was the one he wanted. And then the opportunity presented itself to him. He didn't really have to seek the opportunity. The opportunity found him. Because my guess is this ownership would say, yeah, we would need X amount of equity from you, and you would basically be the John Elway, the president of football operations. You would basically be the John Elway of the team, which mainly means he's pretty much the GM, which could be interesting. First initial thought about this, I think it would be a good opportunity for Peyton. I don't know if it's the one he is exactly looking for. But without him sitting in front of me, telling me one way or the other, I don't know. On a 1 to 10 scale, 10 meaning this is absolutely going to happen, 1 meaning heck no, I give it a 5 or a 6. I think it's a little more than a coin flip, 57% out of 100. It's a little more than a coin flip to me. I think there is interest. So we'll find out how this all goes from here. But as far as this goes, this could be big. Especially to you Falcons fans, and I got friends in the Charlotte Raleigh market from the Hurricanes and the Checkers. I'll mention that in a second about the Checkers. We'll get into that. But I think if I was trying to own the Panthers, I would want, at least on a consulting basis, I would like to have the mind of Peyton Manning helping me run my franchise. Now, you just mentioned it, so let me go on and say it real quick. There was a AHL game, which is the equivalent of AAA, still professional hockey, the equivalent of AAA in the National Hockey League. The Lehigh Valley Phantoms were playing in the conference semifinal, I believe, against the Charlotte Checkers. The Charlotte Checkers being the AHL affiliate of the Carolina Hurricanes, where last night's guest, Mike Maniscalco, was actually at this game covering the Checkers. We all know in hockey they play three periods. Then they go to an overtime if it's still tied at that point. Most of the time they go to a shootout during the regular season. They don't do that in the playoffs. You keep playing overtime periods until somebody scores. They ended up playing in the longest AHL game in the history of the league. Did they play one overtime? No. Two? No. Three or four? No. With 13 minutes left to go in the fifth overtime. These overtimes are 20 minutes apiece. That tells you how long this game was. Yeah. They're 20 minutes apiece. With 13 minutes to go, Lehigh Valley put one in the net. And besides everything else incredible about that, the goalie for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms stopped 94 shots on 95 attempts. Yeah, it was approaching 100. 95 shots were put on goal, which means he had to make an effort to stop them. Doesn't matter if you shoot a million times. If none of them come anywhere where he has to make a play, they don't count. Same thing in soccer. 95 shots. He stopped 94 of them in one. Is that just, I mean. So, Checkers, I know you're down 3-1 in the series. I hope you still have something left in the tank because we're all behind you. But as far as last night.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah, just incredible. Let's get some of these other ones real quick. Matt Patricia, new Lions coach, former defensive coordinator and many other coaching positions with Bill Belichick and the Patriots, said he was accused, I believe, if I get this story right, he was accused of sexual assault in 1996, maybe it was 2006, either way. And then there was a report that came out that he was indicted on it, that he was formally charged, and everybody has come out and supported him. So I'm not sure, A, why it came out, or B, why it's still around, because it seemed like it would be settled by now. But it's something, Lions fans, that you're going to have to keep in mind. Honestly, don't know exactly how that would play out. I don't know what they would do to head coaches who do that. I know a lot of smaller coaches typically get let go. At this point, there would be league discipline. I guess he would get suspended a handful of games, like a player would be. But it's just kind of bizarre how it all played out. I hope to have more by next week as far as all this. It just dropped a day or so ago. We dug in as much as we could. We reached out, but yeah, it's kind of troubling that came out of nowhere. He's known as one of the nicest people around, but I'm not going to accuse him of anything, and I'm not going to not accuse him of anything until I know more. Just wanted to throw that story out there because it is what it is until it's not. Let's get into Matt Ryan because then I have one quick note and something about the Browns, and I think the Browns thing will be pretty fun. Matt Ryan just signed that deal, $150 million over 5 years, 100 of it guaranteed. He gets $30 million a year, basically. Good for him. I applaud it. You know, say he earned it. Sure, he probably did, between what he has done and what he hopefully will do. But the troubling thing to me, this is where I had to kind of go, huh? He says now it's time to win a championship. Now, what about the last 5, 6, 8 years you've been here? What? I know he doesn't mean it this way, I don't think, but he made it seem like until he got this giant contract, this will be his third contract, by the way, until he got this giant contract, he wasn't all about winning championships. Now, I know he'll come out and eventually kind of correct the way it came out, but that's pretty troubling. That's when your star player, the guy who's supposed to be leading you into the promised land, finally gets his big contract, and then suddenly he's motivated. I got to give props to the other guy drafted that year as high up as, almost as high as Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco, that he played out the rookie deal, bet on himself, and that's the year he had the giant run, and he got the big deal that way. But, Matt, I know you didn't mean it that way, but I'm still waiting on the retraction for you to kind of fix that, because it is a little puzzling that now you think it's time for a championship. Although I do agree, if you look at this team, this is one of the best teams that I've seen in Atlanta in a long time, maybe all the way back to the 94, 95, 96 era that was the Super Bowl run team. Mark Ingram is going to be suspended the first four games of the year because of PEDs. He has his own line of defense coming up where he's going to try to prove why he tested positive for particular substances. Particular performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, there's a chance he beats this. Eventually, somebody's going to. I don't know what reasons he had for whatever substance he got popped on, but I'm pretty sure he didn't pull the, well, I didn't read what was on the bottle, or it was a bad GNC supplement. Don't blame them. They just sell the stuff. If you ask them questions, they'll answer them. Don't ever blame the store. It's like blaming spoons for obesity. It's not their fault. They're just the tool. But so far, the Saints have not reached out. No, Adrian Peterson's still available. Not sure if he'd ever go back there. But they haven't reached out to try to get a veteran guy in there to make up for those four games. It's still early. By July or August, I could see them potentially trying to if he doesn't get cleared of these. But they do have Alvin Kamara, who could pretty much handle the load for the first four games. I don't think there's a problem there. And then the last thing, the Cleveland Browns continue to tell us how much they like Baker Mayfield. I would hope so. You drafted him number one overall. You probably already promised him the moon. And I think you can even ask Gru from the Minion movies, Despicable Me and all, that the moon's not really something you can just give away. You can't steal it either. But they keep overselling the Baker Mayfield pick. Now, overselling. This is a big wrestling term. As far as behind the fourth wall, it'd be like as devastating as if you punch me in wrestling, as devastating as your punch is, if I make it seem like it's twice as hard as it really is and just really start just wilding around and rolling around like a crazy person, then that's overselling. Overselling is like overhyping. To a point, I'm trying to get you so over the moon, another moon reference apparently, I'm so over the moon about why we picked this guy and why you should be into him, that he may not live up to the hype because I overhype it. We're not talking hype bro stuff here, shout out Mojo Rawley. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. They keep overselling it. So either they thought they were being cute in picking him because they thought all the quarterbacks were basically the same, which is possible. Or maybe this was their guy, and to get everybody excited about Cleveland football, they continue to tell you how great he is and how great it was that they picked him, and just over and over just trying to sell the rest of us on the idea that we should be Cleveland Browns fans this year. I am a fan of the Browns. They're not my number one team, I don't know where they would fall in the hierarchy. I'm a fan of all the teams to some degree. I want the Browns to do well. I think they've been at the bottom long enough. It's time for some different people to move up anyway, so why not the Browns? I like a lot of the moves they've made. John Dorsey doing some fantastic things. I think Hugh Jackson's still coaching for his job this year, and I think unless he wins 7, 8, 9 games, he's probably not going to be back. But the fact they're overselling the Mayfield pick means that they're looking at it now like, did we really do that? Maybe they're trying to convince themselves that it was the greatest thing they should do. But that's going to do it this week. Another great edition of Sports Club right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Impact Media, Cody, Coach, and Reggie will be back on the next couple weeks. We got some other fun stuff to talk about. So many great things always going on. We're going to have some more guests in. Still trying to nail down some guests. Keep sending in the people you want me to get, and I will do my best to reach out to them and see what I can do. We're setting up some other things for board check for the next couple weeks. I believe our Fox 5 friend Blaine Cummett will be on board check next week, I believe. We are still nailing that down. Shout out to the Georgia Swarm, who have their second-round playoff matchup this weekend. If they win that, I believe they will be in the final. So shout out to them. I think they can definitely beat, to believe it's New England they're playing. See them do it. But for everybody here at Impact Media, thanks for listening to us this week. Thanks for dropping by. If you listen to us from the iTunes store, please leave us a rating and review. We definitely very much appreciate it. It helps us out, and it helps make this show better because we cater to you. Just like the grill master, Chris Holdip from the ATL Falcoholics, he called in last week. Want to talk some Matt Ryan, some Falcons. We did that. You guys want to call in? Phone lines are going to be open a lot, especially throughout the summer. We're going to be talking everything, football and everything else, just as much as possible. Coming up, if you're as excited about it as I am, at the top of the hour will be the Winnipeg Jets at the Nashville Predators in Game 7 of the second round of the playoffs. We're down to 5 teams. We're going to be down to 4 in a couple short hours. So if you're a big hockey fan or you want to watch just incredible reason why the NHL is so great, it's on NBCSN. It's coming up very soon. But since that's going to do it, appreciate everybody dropping by, everybody listening. We will see you guys next week. Go Falcons. Get up. Hey, big girl. Make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up. Girl, wobble it, and I'ma gobble it. I see you moving your head, go ahead, bobble it. We can cradle the bed, I'm straight racking it. The girl say, man, like this, double racket shit. Damn, I'm so explicit, but I can't help it, my flow ridiculous. Boy, got a gift like it gotta be Christmas. Wag on this like it gotta be gifted. The girls broke cameras, and they won't fix it, and they gon' frame them. See that? Let a little bit while I'm saying my scriptures. Cause I leave you holy like you pray in the temple. One beat, I move with the letter of a pencil. And mine won't miss you, good night kiss you. Take a damn back, cause you got pistols. And now I'm saying, Donnie, pick her up, easy shit.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam!